Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 16th. Oil drops below $70 to 15-month low. The story was written by Emmanuel John Milton and Devika Krishna Kumar. Oil closed at a 15-month low as a wave of technical selling and options covering accelerated a three-day slide. The U.S. benchmark plunged more than 5% Tuesday, plagued by banking sector turmoil that's eroding oil demand optimism. Adding to the chaos, financial firms trying to limit their exposure to falling prices in the options market began dumping crude futures in a strategy known as delta hedging. West Texas Intermediate crude has lost 10% of its value in March, prompting analysts to wonder how far prices must fall before OPEC Plus adjusts output quotas. While the cartel has said it will keep production unchanged this year, headwinds are bearish. U.S. crude stockpiles are expanding again, Russian exports remain resilient in the face of sanctions, and the International Energy Agency expects a surplus in the first half of the year. Quote, "The path of least resistance is clearly to the downside for oil," Fawad Razakzadeh, market analyst at StoneX, said in a note. "As long as oil prices stay below $70 a barrel," he added, quote, "the sellers will remain in control," end quote. Until recently, oil was stuck in a $10 range with traders balancing aggressive monetary tightening with optimism around China's demand recovery. Now, with an unfolding banking crisis driving investors from risky assets, oil may have further to fall. Gaming League opens inside of Urban Air Adventure Park. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. XP League, a gaming league operated inside Urban Air Adventure Park, held its grand opening on Saturday at 4706 North Midkiff Road. Urban Air, which opened in early January, includes attractions like a sky rider, climbing walls, virtual reality, and more. Elementary, middle, and high school age players are allowed to participate in the league. According to a press release, XP League gamers compete in a 9-week season, receiving pro-level experience while developing lasting life skills in weekly practices and matches. The league offers teams in popular games like Overwatch, Fortnite, Rocket League, and Valorant. Quote, "Every child has a creative lane, and for some, it's esports," Urban Air and XP League franchisee Gina Marie Soto said in a press release. Continuing the quote, "We are so excited to provide this type of entertainment for the kid who enjoys this most in their life. This will bring countless opportunities to kids in West Texas, like scholarships and college offers," end quote. Telecommunications company Verizon reported that nearly 200 colleges and universities have varsity esports teams. Some offer scholarships, some do not. Boise State University, University of Utah, and University of California, Irvine are a couple of the major institutions that offer scholarships for esports. Where to celebrate St. Patrick's Day Friday? The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Note, some establishments will be celebrating Thursday, Saturday, and or Sunday as well. The Buffalo Nickel. Shamrock Green Beer, Pint O'Guinness, Four Leaf Clover Club, Lost Irish Green Tea Shots, Lost Irish Old Fashioned, Bacardi Mango Chili Mojito, Lost Irish Irish Bomb, and a Thin Mint Martini make up the St. Paddy's Day menu for the Buffalo Nickel. Alan Castillejos brings the live jams. Learn more on Instagram at the Buffalo Nickel Bar. Doors open at 12 p.m., music at 8:45 p.m., 216 North Main Street. Tall City Bagel. With this trusty new bagel cart in tow, Mike Schlattman will be serving a special St. Patrick's Day menu to New York-style Bake 11 Midlanders. Patrons can expect OMG Bailey's, bagel with Bailey's Irish cream-infused cream cheese, Luck of the Irish, bagel with a green cream cheese schmear infused with a taste of mint, Schmear It Tofu, vegan scallion and chive tofu cream cheese on a bagel, PB&J Time, Skippy peanut butter with a choice of grape or strawberry jelly on a bagel, corned beef marinated in a Guinness bacon kraut on a bagel and paired with spicy mustard, and a Williamsburg bagel with salt-cured and slow-cold-smoked Atlantic salmon topped with cream cheese, sliced red onions, and capers. Follow TCB on Instagram at tallcity.bagel, 1130 a.m. to 7:30 p.m., 3618 North Big Spring Street. Tall City Brewing Company. Join the beer crew for live music, food, and, of course, green beer. The party will cover both Friday and Saturday. On-site food trucks for Friday include Roadside Burgers and Midland Filipino Bakery and Cafe. Keep up with festivities on Instagram at Tall City Brewing, 11 a.m. Friday, 3303 West Golf Course Road. The Doubletree Downtown. Enjoy a night of electronic dance from Faceless, Zalo, DLP, Madrid, Alex Schock, and James Boogie, as well as live body art painting provided by at Rose of Sharon Profiticart, at Loud-Ah-Paints, at Luxuriana Imagery Studio, at B.A.N-8080Art, and at Artistic Adventure 432. Vendors include Midland Thrift Company and West Texas 360 Video Booth, 21 and up with a $10 charge. 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. After party runs 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 117 West Wall Street, 3rd floor. Eccentric Brewing Company. Join the Eccentric crew for a green beer-filled night paired with the latest singer-songwriter Night installment. Scooter Dog Food Truck will be on-site serving up hot and fresh deliciousness. Find out more information at facebook.com/eccentricbrewingco. 4 p.m. to 12 a.m., 1402 Cotton Flat Road. Fair to Midland. Hang out with the outdoor crew for a St. Patrick's Day free crawfish boil. Green beer will be available and live music will come from Blake Burrow, Tyler McCullum, and Tom O'Connor. The first drop happens at 2 p.m. Stay up to date at fairtomidland-tx on Instagram. Opens at 11 a.m., music at 3 p.m., 1115 Tradewinds Boulevard. Hoop and Barrel. Enjoy classic tapas such as chips and dip or guaca rolls along with one of Hoop and Barrel's St. Paddy's Day themed drinks, the Irish Espresso Martini, Luck of the Irish, Pot of Gold, and themed shots. Live music will be provided by Bo and Mia Z. Keep up with the crew on Instagram at Hoop and Barrel, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., 3211 West Wadley Avenue, Suite 21. Little Woodrow's and Woody's Hideaway. Head to either sister location for a Let's Patty celebration. Jameson, Guinness, green beer, car bombs, and other drink specials will be available as well as fried bites such as corn dogs, cheeseburger egg rolls, wings, and more. littlewoodrows.com/wateringholes/Midland. Open 11 a.m. to 2 a.m., 21 and up, 3415 North Loop 250, woodyshideaway.com. Open 2 p.m. to 2 a.m., 5701 Starboard Drive, Suite 5. Midland Amateur Radio Club 67th Annual Hamfest. Support MARC and enjoy a free and entertaining educational event. Over 2,000 radio fans from all around, Texas, New Mexico, Louisiana, gather in the Tall City to partake in a community-driven hangout packed with raffles and more. Also taking place will be the West Texas Section Convention of the American Radio Relay Leagues. For more information, visit hamfest.w5qgg.org. Start at 8 a.m., 2300 Butternut Lane, MLK Community Center. The Midland Rose. St. Patrick's Day means Green Tea Night at the Midland Rose. The West Side Lounge will feature $3 Jameson shots, $30 hookah, live music by SHOOTEMJR, and will have free giveaways all night long. For updates, follow the Midland Rose on Instagram at The Rose Midland, 21 and up, 12 p.m. to 2 a.m., 3402 Thomason Drive. Rusty Bucket Barbecue and Tavern. Join Cole Barnhill and Rob Brooks for a fun Friday evening bash, including hot fresh bites such as fried fish, turkey sandwiches, pork chops and tacos, green beer, and other drink specials. Check on event updates through the Bucket's Facebook at facebook.com/Rusty Bucket BBQ and Tavern. Opens at 11 a.m. Show starts at 6 p.m. 3113 West Industrial Avenue.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Happenings. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Blue Door. Hello, Spring. A planter pottery workshop with Leslie Clay, March 21st. At the Destination. Open Mic Night, Thursday. Friday Night Live, Tomas Christian, Friday. Chase the Night, Saturday. Bring Your Own Blues Open Blues Jam, March 23rd. Friday Night Live, Monty Branham, March 24th. Jace Martin Band, March 25th. Friday Night Live, Damian Valenzuela. At Eccentric Brewing Company. Singer-songwriter night, Friday. Dave Martinez, Saturday. Shelton Rowling, March 22nd. Casey Greathouse, March 24th. Comedy night, March 25th. Sam Choate, March 29th. Lee Harmon, March 31st. At the Hand Cafe. Coffee and Clay, a mug pottery workshop with Leslie Clay, March 25th. At the Horseshoe, Permian Basin Comic Con, Friday through Sunday, Monster Truck Wars, Saturday, Roseland Oil and Gas Convention, March 22nd and 23rd, Whiskey Myers, March 31st. At La Hacienda Event Center, Los Enanitos Toreros, Saturday, Chase Matthews and Kid G, March 30th, La Zenda Norteña, Los Recoditos, La Zona X y Harry Franken, March 31st. At Midland Community Theater, Sense and Sensibility, March 24th through April 15th. At the Midland County History Museum. The Russell Lee Photographs Exhibition, now through April 8th. At the Midland Rose, Kirk O'Bangs, Saturday. At Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Market Farmers Market, every Saturday. At the Tailgate, William Beckman, March 24th, Cody West, March 25th. At Tall City Brewing Company, Tall City Beer Run, Thursday. PBAA Pet Easter Photo Shoot, Sunday. Boss Babes Market, Sunday. Girl Scout Cookie Pairing, March 25th. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Yamato, The Drummers of Japan, Hinotori, The Wings of Phoenix, Thursday. Zach Williams, Friday. Chris D'Elia, March 24th. Maricela La Dama de Hierro, March 25th. High Tide, March 28th. Joanne Shaw Taylor, March 29th. Mike Massimino. At the UTPB Shepherd Leadership Institute Distinguished Lecture Series, March 30th, at Wagner Knoll. Chad Prather and the Ragamuffins, March 31st. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, March 17th through 19th, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Listening to Grammy-winning tunes. Backed by a 10-piece band, Christian rock artist Zach Williams takes over the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts stage for a live music experience, featuring music from his September album, 100 Highways, and more. Joining Williams is Nigerian-born American Christian pop and gospel singer Blessing Offer. Beyond the general admission tickets, which start at $18, an eat-and-greet VIP package, gourmet dinner beforehand, picture with Williams, swag bag, and more, will also purchase a food box for a family in need through a partnership with the Salvation Army and Altrua HealthShare. Purchase tickets at wagnerknoll.com. Friday, March 17th. Doors open at 6 p.m., show at 7 p.m., 1310 North FM 1788. Experience a monstrous truck event. Monster Truck Wars, self-declared as America's wildest monster truck show, hits the Horseshoe Arena with a full schedule of destruction and fun. Patrons can expect head-to-head challenges, car crushing, ramp jumps, donut contests, and more. The last time the crew came to the Tall City, they sold out. So this year, Midlanders have two chances. Tickets start at $10 and can be bought at www.midlandhorseshoe.com. For more information on the show, visit bit.ly/3LFIXFK. Saturday, March 18th. Shows start at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. at 2514 Arena Trail. Hang with the locals. Sunday Fundy will be in full swing at Tall City Brewing Company. The Permian Basin Animal Advocates take over the beer spot for an Easter pet photo shoot. Pets will join the Easter Bunny for a themed shoot, while PBAA educates the community, shows off adoptable dogs, and more. Treats for both two- and four-legged creatures are available. Also happening will be a Spring Luck of the Irish Boss Babes Market, showcasing local female-owned businesses selling a magnitude of goodies. For more information, check out Tall City Brewing Company on Instagram at Tall City Brewing. Sunday, March 19th, 12 noon to 6 p.m. at 3303 West Golf Course. Zach Williams performs This Friday in Midland by Robin Bradshaw from Hearst. Singer and songwriter Zach Williams will be in town Friday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, performing a 100 Highways tour with his 10-piece band and special guest Blessing Offer. Williams was awarded a Grammy for Best Contemporary Christian Music Album for the song Chainbreaker during his debut album release in 2018. A Christian singer and songwriter, Williams also teamed up with Dolly Parton in the popular song There Was Jesus. All remaining tickets are $74 and available online at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center website. The venue is located at 1310 FM 1788 in Midland.
Hello, this is Michael, continuing the Midland Reporter Telegram, Thursday, March 16th. Strong cold front moving through West Texas. Possible snow overnight by Robin Bradshaw, Hearst. Wintry weather conditions are expected for Midland, with a strong cold front moving through the region Thursday night. That will include chances for rain and snow, reports the National Weather Service. As the cold front moves in Thursday night, multiple rounds of precipitation with wintry conditions are possible, the report said. Overnight forecasts will include freezing rain Friday through Sunday night, then switch back to rain during the day. Below temperature warnings are especially noted for the area west of the Pecos River, the report said. Exxon's Texas plant likely last major U.S. refinery project, by Barbara Powell and Chunzi Zhu, Bloomberg. When ExxonMobil Corporation's newest addition to its Southeast Texas refinery ramps up to full production in the next few weeks, it'll be the first major expansion of U.S. fuel-making capacity in at least a decade, and probably the last. For Exxon, the timing has worked impeccably. It's expanding supplies of diesel and a gasoline ingredient called vacuum gas oil, or VGO, just as customers are struggling to replace sanctioned Russian cargoes. In addition, the refinery expansion in the small industrial city of Beaumont, about a 90-minute drive from Houston, gives Exxon a guaranteed outlet for oil produced in the Permian Basin in West Texas and New Mexico. Using domestic crude nets Exxon more than $40 for every barrel of diesel produced, a historically eye-popping margin. Exxon's feat is unlikely to be replicated, given the industry-wide push to reduce carbon footprints and concurrent refinery construction across Africa, the Middle East, and Asia that'll swell global oil processing capacity. In the U.S., gasoline consumption has already peaked, reducing any incentive for refiners to spend billions expanding output. Even as U.S. rivals like Marathon Petroleum Corporation and Valero Energy Corporation put the finishing touches on expansions at their own Texas refineries, they pale in comparison to Exxon's 250,000-barrel increase in daily capacity that will make the Beaumont complex second in size to Saudi Aramco's enormous plant in nearby Port Arthur. We're pretty bullish on this project, John Hours, managing director of RBN, Energy's Refined Fuels Analytics, said of Exxon's expansion. Theirs is likely the last major expansion in the U.S. They're the last guys in. When Exxon launched the billion-dollar Beaumont expansion project 5 years ago, the global refining industry was on the precipice of a dramatic slump that would see almost 4 million barrels of daily fuel-making capacity mothballed as the pandemic gutted energy demand and tougher environmental rules made the oldest, dirtiest plants unprofitable to operate. But for Exxon, the mathematics of what a bigger Beaumont would mean for its bottom line were compelling. Despite what was transpiring in the wider world of refining, Exxon's Permian crude was so cheap to produce and inexpensive to haul to the plant that the investment was justified, said Chief Executive Officer Darren Woods. The refinery's daily capacity will increase almost 70% to about 619,000 barrels, becoming almost as large as the Saudis' 626,000-barrel complex in neighboring Port Arthur. Exxon's expansion also creates a new source for vacuum gas oil, or VGO, which is in high demand among U.S. refiners, cut off from Russian production that was their single largest foreign source of the component prior to the war in Ukraine.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, March 16th. Barbara Alice Wells Cartwright passed away on March 13th at the age of 89. Barbara was born in Wellington, Texas on March 7th, 1934, to Joseph Morris Wells and Rose Prater Wells. Barbara attended school in Wellington and graduated high school as salutatorian in 1951. After high school, she attended the University of Texas at Austin. It was at UT where she met the love of her life, Jack Cartwright. They were married on June 4, 1955, in Wellington. Barbara was preceded in death by her parents, J.M. and Rose Wells, her sister, Jocelyn Alexander, and her son, Wade Cartwright. She is survived by her loving husband of almost 68 years, Jack, her children, Cindy Motes and husband Tom, Karen Hodge and husband Don, and Claire Brock and husband Danny. She is also survived by her 7 grandchildren. She also leaves behind 16 great-grandchildren and 6 great-great-grandchildren. Barbara's memorial service will be at Nally Pickle and Welch Chapel on Friday, March 17th at 10 a.m., with Hospice of Midland Chaplain Clark Rocca officiating. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. In lieu of flowers, memorial gifts may be made to Hospice of Midland, Manor Park, or the charity of one's choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joyce Robinson Smith was born on October 8, 1926, to Bert and Tenny Rosenbaum. Born and raised in Midland, she divided her time between the city life of Midland and the country life on the Lazy J Ranch in Upton County. After her graduation at 17 from Midland High School, Joyce met and married Sergeant Harold J. Robinson, a member of the Army Air Corps stationed at Sloan Field in Midland, Texas, on December 2, 1943. In the summer of 1964, Joyce and Robbie began their careers as realtors with Maxon Realtors. Upon Robbie's death in 1971, Joyce moved to San Angelo. For the next 4 years, she not only continued her real estate career, but she met and married Ray Smith. They returned to Midland and opened their own real estate business, Tierra Realtors. For the next 39 years, they continued to operate a successful business. After Ray's death in 2015, Joyce retired from the active real estate business. She continued to manage properties for clients until fully retiring at the age of 90. Joyce is survived by her son, David Robinson, granddaughters Danielle Reynolds and Caitlin Magnino, 4 great-grandchildren, and son Harold Robinson and family. Graveside services will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, March 16th, at Rest Haven Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Pamela Allen Osmus of Midland passed away on March 10th. A celebration of life for Pam will be held Thursday, March 16th at 5:30 p.m. at the branch of Nally Pickle and Welch, with Reverend Jan Reed officiating. Dinner will follow. Pam was born on January 3, 1950, in Selma, California, to A.J. Allen and Laverne Vannoy Allen. They made their home in Midland in 1954. Pam graduated from Robert E. Lee High School in 1969 and went on to study at Odessa Junior College and then at Houston Baptist Junior College until the birth of her first child, Christine. Pam had over 30 years of administrative support experience. She began her career in 1984 at Clydesdale Corporation. In 1993, she went to work for Ortloff Engineers as an engineering technician project secretary until her retirement in 2020. Pam married Larry Dean Osmus on November 21, 1998. Pam is survived by her loving husband, Larry Osmus, her loving daughter, Christine Beebe, and husband, Richard, as well as grandchildren, Evelyn and Dylan Beebe, brother, Mike Allen and Sally of La Jara, Colorado, sister, Belinda Newton, and husband, Michael of Abilene, Texas, sister-in-law, Kim Doolin of Milford, New Hampshire, and numerous nephews, nieces, and cousins. Pam was preceded in death by her parents, A.J. and Laverne Allen, and her precious son, Christopher Thomas Bearden. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that memorials be donated to Compassus Hospice of Austin or St. Jude Children's Hospital. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelsh.com. Aaron Michael Weiss, age 36, passed away Saturday, March 11th. Viewing will be Friday, March 17th, from 1 p.m. to 8 p.m., with a receiving of friends from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. that evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at LlewellynGarciaPipkinFH.com. Regina Denise Cole passed away on March 11th. A going-home service will be held Saturday, March 18th, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, starting at 11 a.m., with cremation services to follow. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com.
Hello, this is Michael, and I am reading the Odessa American, published Thursday, March 16th, 2023. Front page. Attorney says he found no evidence of wrongdoing, by Kim Smith. An attorney hired by the city of Odessa to investigate claims of bullying made by former downtown Odessa executive director Casey Hallmark announced Tuesday he found no evidence of wrongdoing by Mayor Javier Hoven and council members Mark Mata and Chris Haney. Tommy Sheen of Davidson Sheen said he spoke with several witnesses and reviewed emails and videos before coming to his conclusions. There is not sufficient evidence to support a finding that Ms. Hallmark was bullied by the mayor, by Councilman Mata or Councilman Haney, Shane said. Mata declined to comment following the meeting, and Hoven objected strenuously when asked for a comment by an Odessa American reporter. Are you going to quote this? Because you sure put a lot of misquotes in there about me and my family. Are you going to write the truth now? Hoven said, shaking Sheen's report. When assured he, Sheen, and Hallmark would be quoted, Hoven responded, "Tell the truth. That's what I want you to do. For once, tell the truth," Hoven said. When pressed for a quote regarding his reaction to Sheen's conclusions, Hoven responded, "Why do I have to declare my innocence when nothing ever happened?" Hoven was then ushered away by newly hired communications director Monica McDaniel, who said, "Why don't y'all talk later? I'm sorry." Hallmark said she is standing by her statements, but she's ready to move on. "I know that everything I said was 100% true. I had no reason to lie. I had everything to lose by coming forward, which I did," Hallmark said. Hallmark made headlines in mid-December by accusing Hoven and Mata of bullying her and newly elected city council member Chris Haney of screaming at her. During a January 10th city council meeting, Hallmark went into more depth about her allegations, accusing Haney of using the F word during a tirade. Specifically, Hallmark claimed Haney was upset she had created a banner identifying him as a council person for the Parade of Lights event. She said he got within 6 inches of her face and said, "I'm not an expletive council person. I'm a council man, and I will be referred to as such." Sheen said Bobby Swanner, Councilmember Denise Swanner's husband, and Haney's stepdaughter were standing nearby when the alleged tirade took place, but told him Haney never got unusually close to Hallmark and they never heard any yelling. Hallmark alleged she met with Hovind several times shortly after she was hired in January 2022. 3 weeks into her job, Hallmark claimed Hovind refused to shake her hand prior to a city council meeting, called her a crazy liberal, and said he was ready to accept her resignation. She further said during a meeting in her office, Hovind told her to watch her back because the Odessa Police Department was full of murderers. She further said he refused to address her by her maiden name because he thought it ungodly for her to use it. Hallmark also felt threatened by Mata when he called her out in an email for becoming Facebook friends with Odessa whistleblowers who had made salacious claims about Mata and Hovind. Hallmark resigned from her position in January, saying she didn't think the current climate was a good fit for her, and she's accepted a position elsewhere. She noted Hovind, Mata, and Haney all categorically denied the allegations, and due to a lack of witnesses and video evidence, most of the allegations ended up being instances of she said, he said. He noted Hovind had no power to hire, fire, or discipline Hallmark. And while he did refer to Hallmark by her married name during a few council meetings, he quickly corrected himself. Sheen, whose contract states their billing rate is $195 to $375 an hour, also said he found no evidence for a never-before-revealed allegation made by Hallmark. Hallmark, Sheen said, alleged Hovind once sat in her office and recounted a story to her about OPD officers being involved in an incident with a prostitute west of town that was covered up. She said Hovind told her the prostitute was injured, taken to the hospital, and died when the power went out. Sheen said Hallmark's predecessor at downtown Odessa told him she was sitting within 20 feet of Hallmark and Hovind during their meeting, and she never heard any of those remarks. However, she did say Hallmark told her about Hovind's refusal to shake her hand 3 weeks after she was hired, and the alleged comments he made that day, Sheen said. I did not see any evidence of any discussion prior to the meeting involving Ms. Hallmark and the mayor where there was any indication of a handshake. However, to be fair, the video that is showing only goes up to these seats. I can't say with absolute certainty that something like that didn't occur by video evidence. All we can see is the dais and most of the meetings begin with you guys saying the pledge. Following Tuesday's meeting, OPD Chief Mike Gerke and his officers got called all kinds of things on a daily basis, and allegations are just allegations. As for the newly revealed allegations about the dead woman, you and I both live in the world where we deal with facts, and no one has provided any factual basis for that story, Gerke said. The department takes allegations against officers very seriously, and discipline is meted out when appropriate, Gerke said. Booming. Energy-related hiring burgeons. All sectors of area economy report job seekers market. Upstream, oil and natural gas-related hiring kept booming in January, with an addition of 1,700 jobs to a total of 198,100 statewide. The Texas Oil and Gas Association, Bureau of Labor Statistics, Texas Workforce Commission, and Permian Basin Workforce Board say it was the continuation of a trend that started with the waning of the pandemic. Despite economic headwinds, the industry remains invested in ensuring that we not only meet our state's and nation's energy needs, but that we keep Texas an energy leader, said TXOGA President Todd Staples from Austin. Comparatively, January 2023 jobs were up by 24,000, or 13.8% over January 2022. Since the COVID low point in September 2020, months of increase in upstream oil and gas employment in Texas have outnumbered months of decrease by 25-3. Industry has added 41,100 Texas upstream jobs, averaging growth of 1,468 jobs per month, Staples said. These jobs pay among the highest wages in Texas, with employers paying an average salary of $115,000 in 2022. The upstream sector involves oil and natural gas extraction, excluding refining, petrochemicals, fuels, wholesaling, oil field equipment, manufacturing, pipelines, and gas utilities that support thousands of additional jobs. Permian Basin Workforce Board CEO Willie Taylor said Wednesday that the employment increase has been there for quite some time, with Odessa's unemployment at 3.7% now, and Midland's being the lowest in the state at 2.7%. It has been a job seeker's market out there in all sectors after the recovery from COVID, he said. That's not just in oil and gas, but all sectors: healthcare, automotive, education, transportation, and others. Taylor said Midland County's unemployment is lower than Ector County's because Midland County has a bigger workforce, 113,000 to 86,000, and a greater percentage of energy-related employment, 33% to about 25%. He reported that the job seekers market has powered an increase in wages from 15% to 25%. Taylor said people who want jobs may contact one of the Workforce Solutions Permian Basin agencies in Odessa, Midland, Big Spring, Fort Stockton, or Pecos. He also suggested that skills may be upgraded at the community colleges. Swanner Fired From, by Kim Smith. Odessa City Council member Denise Swanner has been fired from her job as assistant coordinator of Odessa Teen Court, a position she held for 5 years. Teen Court is a nonprofit organization partially funded by the City of Odessa and the Ector County Independent School District. Teens accused of minor crimes are sentenced by their peers, and if they successfully complete their program within 90 days, the charges are dismissed. Rebecca Grisham, Teen Court coordinator, declined to comment on the matter, but Swanner said Grisham felt compelled to fire her. She felt the program has been threatened. I'm not sure by who, Swanner said. She linked it with me being on council. There was no prior communication or notice, Swanner said. I'm not crushed. I was surprised, but I'm not crushed, Swanner said. You know it's going to be nice being off. Everything happens for a reason. Grisham wrote the following in an email to the Teen Court Board on Thursday. I had a discussion with Denise this morning about some issues and conflicts regarding Teen Court and her position on City Council that we could never have foreseen when she decided to run a few years ago. And I let her know that to keep the program separated from those issues, I was regretfully letting her go as my assistant. I just wanted to update you all, and I will let you know when I find someone to fill the position. I want everyone to know I still fully support Denise and all she does for our city, and this was an incredibly difficult decision. Swanner herself emailed the board on Friday to express how upset and offended she was. She stated that the Odessa Teen Court program was being threatened and she could no longer take the stress any longer. She also was upset that I was appointed to the Odessa City Council Municipal Court Committee and asked that I not be a part of that committee, Swanner wrote. Swanner told the board Grisham never provided any details as to where the pressure was coming from, but she thought things were only going to get worse. Teen Court board member Todd Heiner said he didn't feel at liberty to discuss the termination, but he also added he doesn't know everything that led up to it. Former Teen Court coordinator and current board member Tammy Hawkins said she doesn't know everything that happened either and would like to hear both sides. I probably don't need to say anything, Hawkins said. Swanner wrote in her email that Grisham brought up the false allegations made during a January 24th council meeting, but had never brought up any real or perceived issues prior to that point, Swanner said. Swanner ended her email stating, "My biggest concern is the continued success of Teen Court, and I'm very concerned that Rebecca claims she feels her job and Teen Court is currently at risk. My concern is why she feels this may be the case, or who or what she feels poses the threat. I would think the board would be likewise concerned. On January 24th, teen court came up when the Odessa City Council was considering firing municipal court judge Carlos Rodriguez. Attorneys Gavin Norris, Jason Scholl, and Anthony Robles speculated Rodriguez had gotten sideways with Mayor Javier Hoven after Hoven sent a letter to Rodriguez about Operation Graduation. The attorneys felt Hoven behaved inappropriately when he wrote, "I request that you consider the maximum penalty for any social host violations and for any minor in possession citations." Norris also expressed concerns unlawful access to juvenile court records was being given to council members, especially Swanner, given her role with teen court. Swanner denied accessing the records that night and continued to do so in her letter to the teen court board. Following that January meeting, Grisham said, up until 3 years ago, she accessed juvenile records solely to determine if kids were eligible for her program. She no longer has that access and believes Rodriguez has unfairly been caught up in the situation. While Swanner occasionally accessed the files also, Grisham said the new policy prohibits her, Swanner, and other city employees who previously had access to the files from accessing them. Last November, Municipal Court Director Kimberly Joswiak had door security code access removed from people who work outside the prosecutor's office, judge's office, and court clerk's area in order to make the court's files more secure. Grisham also stood up for Rodriguez, and the city council voted to table the matter after meeting in executive session. To my knowledge, his most recent review was glowing, but if there are issues or questions pertaining to his handling of things or whatever, I implore you to have those conversations with him, Grisham said. He can explain what has or hasn't been done or why from his perspective, but you have to have those conversations with him in order to get those answers. Rodriguez has not been reported to State Commission on Judicial Conduct, Grisham said. He is in the middle of his term here, and firing someone in this position can have a lasting repercussion with his career, Grisham said. Please do not remove him from our court, as it can have negative ramifications for not only him, but those of us that work with him. This year's teen court budget for the program is $121,540, with $68,960 coming from the city of Odessa and $52,580 from ECISD. Swanner's salary was $39,875. Quick hits. Read to Felix. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Read to Felix event at 4 p.m. today in the Children's Department. Felix is a therapy dog that loves to be read to. Lightsaber Craft. The Ector County Library Children's Department, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a lightsaber craft event from 4:30 p.m. to 6 p.m. today. Paintings and Pizzas. Keep Odessa Beautiful has scheduled Paintings and Pizzas event from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today at 3033 Northeast Loop 338. Seating is limited. Yamato, the Drummers of Japan. The Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788, Midland, will present Yamato today. The doors will open at 6:30 p.m. and the event will start at 7:30 p.m. Tickets start at $24. Star Wars Party. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled a Star Wars party from 4 to 6 p.m. Friday in the Children's Department. There will be a Star Wars story time, a Star Wars craft, and a goodie bag to take home. St. Patrick's Day. The Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center, 305 East 5th Street, has scheduled a St. Patrick's Day party from 5 to 9 p.m. March 17th. There will be festive green beer and a delicious specialty menu from Beryl and Derek. OFR says OHS roof fire caused by hot tar kettle. Odessa Fire Rescue Interim Chief Jason Cotton said Wednesday afternoon the fire on the rooftop of the physical education building on the campus of Odessa High School was caused by a hot tar kettle. Cotton said over the phone that hot tar kettle had caught fire and caused what he called minimal yet impressive damage. It was a lot more impressive looking than it actually was, Cotton explained. Tar puts off a dark, thick, dense smoke. They had recently retarred the roof, and when all that tar caught fire, it made it look bigger than it was. Ector County ISD issued a press release on Tuesday evening that detailed there were no injuries, it appears to have been accidental, and it looks like damage is minimal. Cotton said the fire didn't burn through the roof. Cotton said OFR units were dispatched at 8.09 p.m. Tuesday and arrived at the scene 2 minutes and 21 seconds later. The final unit cleared the scene at 9.21 p.m. Cotton said once the units arrived at the scene, the fire was put out within a matter of minutes. He said his crew did a great job and quickly put out the fire. That could have turned into something real bad if we wouldn't have been aggressive in taking care of the problem, Cotton said. All ECISD schools and offices are closed this week for spring break. Local news roundup. Midlander sentenced to 30 years. A Midland man, caught with more than 2 pounds of methamphetamine at a Midland hotel 18 months ago, was sentenced to 30 years in prison Friday. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, Fabian Hernandez, 33, pleaded guilty to one count of conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute more than 50 grams of methamphetamine and one count of possession of a firearm in furtherance of drug trafficking activity in December, and was sentenced Friday by U.S. District Court Judge David Counts. Lawsuit filed following wreck. Two Odessans who were injured in a crash that killed a wrong-way driver have filed a lawsuit against the dead man's estate. According to Ector County District Court records, Emmanuel Garza and Annabelle Garza are seeking damages of more than $1 million. The lawsuit states the couple were driving north on Highway 385 on September 19, 2021, when Charles Mello, 49, of Odessa, struck them head-on while traveling in a Chevrolet Silverado without his headlights on. Their Ford F-250 flipped and landed on its roof, severely injuring them, and Mello was killed, the lawsuit stated. According to the lawsuit, Mello was intoxicated at the time of the crash. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Garza and Garcia were treated at Medical Center Hospital and released. That report also indicates that after the couple's pickup truck was hit, it then hit a Toyota Camry, and its three occupants were treated at the scene and released. 7 Brew drops future stand on Andrews Highway. Coffee shop also donates to Wilson & Young. 7 Brew announced the brand's expansion to Odessa by dropping the future coffee stand on site at 3838 Andrews Highway. The coffee shop also announced 2 more locations in the Permian Basin and donated $2,000 to the Wilson & Young Medal of Honor Middle School. Our focus is at 7 Brew to cultivate kindness and joy with every drink through service, speed, quality, energy, and atmosphere, Zach Cockman, director of franchisees for 7 Brew, said in the news release. We strive to invest and give back to our local communities, and we are proud to partner with the local education system to help equip this generation of students. The construction crew dropped the future 7 Brew coffee stand into place on Wednesday morning, and it's preparing for an early May opening. Representatives from Wilson & Young Medal of Honor Middle School attended the building drop to receive the donation from 7 Brew. The staff and student body are incredibly grateful to 7 Brew for their generous donation. Jared Smith, assistant principal of Wilson & Young Medal Honor School, said in the press release, "This monetary donation from the 7 Brew location, which will be right around the corner from our school, will help us continue to provide all students with experiences that set them up for success as they grow." Obituary from the Odessa American, Thursday, March 16th. Margie Sandoval, Odessa. Margie Sandoval, 79, of Odessa, passed away March 13th at her home in Odessa, surrounded by loved ones. Visitation will be held at Martina's funeral home on Thursday, March 16th, 2023, from 1 to 9 p.m., with a rosary at 7 p.m. Funeral service will be held at St. Anthony's Catholic Church on Friday, March 17th at 10 a.m. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery in the Rose Hill section. Arrangements are by Martina's funeral home. Margie was born on March 22, 1943, in Odessa, Texas, to Petra Deporto Hernandez and Manuel Hernandez. She married Ernesto Sandoval on September 16, 1959. She is preceded in death by her parents, Petra Emanuel Hernandez, brothers Manuel Hernandez, Alfred Hernandez, Sam Hernandez, and Ben Hernandez, and her sisters, Mary Hernandez and Jesse Hernandez. Margie is survived by her loving husband of 63 years, Ernesto, her best friends and daughters, Diane Sandoval and husband, Robbie Bray, Patsy Sanchez and husband, Ruben Sanchez, Otila Herrera and husband, Chris Lerma, nephew, son, Domingo Hernandez Jr., and wife, Edith, plus grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She is also survived by her sister, Rosa Fabula, and her brother, Jesus Fernandez. Margie was a small lady who leaves a giant void with her passing. She will be dearly missed.